For our scripture reading today, I'll read from the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 16, found on page number 807. Page 807. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 16. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There are so many things that I don't understand. Modern art. So I don't understand how you can paint a canvas all blue and that is a work of art. Or if you did it, it's just a canvas with blue on it. But if it's an artist, a well-known artist, then that makes it famous and a masterpiece. Or the telephone. I still don't get how the telephone works, how I can speak on the phone and someone else, somewhere else, can hear my voice, even if that be on the other side of the world. Snails, I don't understand how snails are good. I know how they eat my herbs, but I don't know what good they actually do, and maybe flies and mosquitoes as well. I don't understand why Philippines, well, you spell that with a PH, but Filipino, that starts with an F. I don't understand why that is. And I don't understand how big this world is. And when I'm thinking world, I'm probably thinking the solar system, the galaxy, the entire universe, every single bit of it. And a light year, what is a light year? I sort of know that it's got more to do, I think, with distance than time. So light travels, what is it? 300,000 kilometers a second. Whoa. So a light year, the distance that light travels in a year, if that's how far it travels in a second, I can't understand how many numbers that is for it to travel in a year. And I don't get how light travels. I see light, but I don't see it move. So all these things, I don't understand. And then there's God. And how big He must be. Not only how big, but how great our God must be, who made all this world, this entire universe. If I can't get my head around the universe, then what about the God who made it all? How can we possibly know God who made this entire world? How can we understand the wisdom of God? In Romans 11, so just a few pages back from 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing there, and he says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." This is our God. So I often wonder, how will people come to faith and believe in this God? You know, that the thousands of people who live around us and who don't know Jesus, or my family members who do not know Jesus. What would it take for them to come to faith? Because I don't see it happening. But this passage before us this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, gives us the answer. And it shows us that it is possible. And we shouldn't be surprised, because we, so many of us here, have come to believe. So of course, that can happen for others as well. So I think this is one of the most important passages of all Scripture, because it gives us the answer. It tells us how it is possible for us to know God and His wisdom. So I'm going to pray, because we need to pray to be able to understand God and His word. Our Father Almighty, you are so great. You have given us your word. We've just read it. So Father, I pray that you would enable every one of us here this morning to understand it and to see clearly what is being said here, and just how extraordinary it is that we can know you, the God of this whole universe. So I pray for your spirit to be at work here in this room right now. Amen. John, you can answer this question, but who knows my dad's middle name? Who knows my dad's middle name? No. So you could guess, and that's all it's going to be, unless my dad has told you or I tell you. Unless it is revealed to you, you're not going to know my dad's middle name. When it comes to God and His wisdom and knowing Him, we won't understand unless it is revealed to us. So that's the first point that I want to make this morning. If you've got an outline, you'll see it there. You can take some notes, or there's a blank page if you'd rather draw. God's wisdom is not understood unless it is revealed. And we could also say the message of the cross, we were looking at that last week, that is not understood unless it is revealed. It will remain foolishness unless it is revealed. And Paul says that he doesn't speak with wise and persuasive words, but he does speak a message of wisdom. It's just not the wisdom of this age. Have a look at verse 6. See there, when he's talking there about the wisdom of this age, we see the wisdom of this age is coming to an end. The wisdom of this age is not eternal. And the rulers of this age, verse 6 says, they are coming to nothing. Right? Their time will end. They have a use-by date. And if they're a Prime Minister of Australia, that use-by date mightn't be much more than a year. Although, Malcolm, maybe he'll get a little bit more. Right? In contrast, the wisdom that Paul speaks of, have a look at verse 7. It says, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So God's wisdom, it's secret, it's hidden, it's eternal. That which God destined for our glory before time began. So this is a wisdom before this age, and it goes beyond this age. This is God's wisdom, and unless it is revealed, it is not understood. See, verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's quite amazing, isn't it? The rulers, those of this age, those that are coming to nothing, what is it that they do with the Lord of glory? The ruler of all rulers, the King of kings, the Lord of all, what do? They kill him. God comes to earth in the flesh. Right? He sends his son to live on earth so that we can know him. And what do? We put him to death. Now there was a skit many years ago, an old youth group skit. It had to do with aliens that came to Earth wanting to know about Earth. So they would the skit went that they would talk to the humans and they'd ask them, oh, what's some of the most impressive things that you've done? And the humans thought and said, oh, well, we've built the pyramids. And the alien's like, we got our kids to do that. And the human says, okay, well, have you seen our skyscrapers? Aren't they good? And again, the alien's like, nah, you call that a skyscraper? So they ask, well, what's something impressive that has happened? Tell us that. Or can you tell us anything about God? So the humans are thinking and they said, well, God came to Earth. And the alien's like, whoa, back up the spaceship. What? God came to Earth? Tell us more. And the human said, about 2,000 years ago, he sent his son. He was here as a man and he walked around and he did these amazing things and he taught us all about himself, about God. And the alien's like, whoa, just tell us more. They go, that's awesome. And how good would it have been? And what, everyone just worshipped him? And the humans start to get a little bit quiet. And then the aliens get it out of them. Like, what did you do? We killed him. All right, and end of skit. All right, not just killed, but crucified. Right, that's what the rulers of this age did. But only because they did not understand. They were ignorant. Right? It hadn't been revealed to them. That's the wisdom of the world. We are ignorant of his glory, the glory to come. Now, Paul quotes from Isaiah 64. It says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. In verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We cannot understand unless it is revealed, and God has revealed it. My dad's middle name is Stuart. There you go, you know. It's been revealed to you. Right? You now know. But far, far greater than that is what God has revealed to us about himself, which means that we can know him. That which was secret and hidden is no longer. We can know him, the wisdom of God. We can know what he was doing in having his son be crucified as he reconciles the world to himself. All right, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And God, he has revealed it to us. He's revealed it to us how? By his Spirit. So that's our second point. The Spirit, he enables us to understand God. The Spirit, he's the answer in understanding God, in knowing him. So you want understanding? You want to know God better? Pray. Pray that the Spirit would enable you to know more about God. The Spirit of God, he knows the deep things of God. See that there in the second half of verse 10? The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And now, no one knows you better than yourself, right? Maybe your spouse, but still, there's probably things that you know about yourself that your spouse doesn't. Right? No one knows God better than God himself. And so the Spirit of God can plumb the depths of God and then reveal those things to us. That's what he does. Verse 12, have a look at that. It says, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. We've received the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand. Now, the we there could be Paul and the apostles. Verse 13 goes on to speak of the message that he and others speak of as they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we have God's word as a result of that. But it's true for us also, isn't it? For us who believe. We have the Holy Spirit. We've been born of the Spirit. Jesus said that we need to be born again, need to be born of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. And verse 12 here says that we have received the Spirit who is from God. Why? Well, it says, in order that we may understand. Right? That the Spirit, he enables us to understand God. The person without the Spirit, they can't understand. They remain ignorant. The message of the cross remains foolish to them. I was speaking to someone just recently. It was one of your dads, actually. They could see that Jesus was a fine person, a fine man. A great teacher, a healer, did amazing things, and could see that, yeah, he was a prophet from God, but Savior and Lord for them, they couldn't seem to come to that point. You see, we can understand things about Jesus, but we need the work of the Spirit to reveal his glory to us, to convict us of our sin and how much we need Christ to forgive us of our sin, to see how his death is the answer and the only way for us to know God and call him Father. But the person with the Spirit, whether the Spirit has done his work in our life, can understand. And see what else it says. For the one who has the Spirit says, in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Now, I'm struggling to get my head around that, what it means to have the mind of Christ, because I know my mind sometimes. I think of what we read in Romans 11, where there it says, who can know that the mind of the Lord? And this is actually what Paul quotes here in chapter 2, verse 16. Exactly what we read in Romans 11, which was quoting Isaiah chapter 40. Who has known the mind of the Lord? And now it's saying, we who have the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? That we have the mind of Christ. Again, I don't think this is just the apostles. I don't think they're in some super spiritual class. We have the Spirit as well, which would mean that we too have the mind of Christ. Now, I started by saying that there's so much in this world that I don't understand. But this I know, that the Spirit of God enables us to understand the wisdom of God, enables us to understand the cross of Christ, so that we can know God, we can know Him personally, and that we can be part of the glorious age to come. How good is that? You see why this is such an important passage, what it teaches us about the Spirit, our need for the Spirit to show us Christ. So as we finish, let me just share with you a couple of implications. First is just how humbling this is. For us to know God and His wisdom, it's not through anything of ourselves, anything that we've done. It's not because how smart you are, but it's all by God, His grace. He has revealed it to us by His Spirit, the Spirit of God. Right, that which was secret, that which was hidden, it's been revealed, and that's why we know. So what an honour, what a privilege it is to be in the know, to have the Spirit to reveal that truth to us. And secondly, what this drives me to pray. To pray to God that He, through His Spirit, would reveal Himself to others. And it gives me hope for those in my family who don't yet believe. I've got four nieces. Only one's a Christian. But this gives me hope to pray that the Spirit of God would reveal Himself, would reveal God to them. So I must pray for the Spirit to do His work. It shows that there is a way for your Hindu neighbour, for your friend from dance, for your colleague from work, that they become a Christian. God can do it. So you must pray that the Spirit do His work. And pray for the Spirit to work in your life. And maybe you're here and you don't get it. Maybe you understand some things about Jesus, but there's so much that you don't get. And we're really pleased that you're here. Keep on coming. But pray. Pray that the Spirit would show you Jesus. And we can all pray for the work of the Spirit in our life. As we read God's Word, as you're at home and you read God's Word, as you do it, pray that the Spirit would help you to understand God more as you read His Word. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, how glorious it is to know You and to be known by You. We thank You so much that You have revealed Yourself to us by Your Spirit. So we thank You so much and we praise You. And Father, we do pray for those that we know and we love who do not know You. We pray for the work of the Spirit in their life. We ask that You reveal Yourself to them, that they would understand who Jesus is, that they would understand the message of the cross, that they would see it, not as foolishness, but they would come to see it as the power of God in enabling us to know You. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name and for Your glory. Amen.